And we bypass the brazen laver for a reason, because God did not hand down the setting forth or the giving forth of the laver until after he had given the brazen altar. You can go back in the 28th and 29th chapter of Exodus and read that, but you won't find the brazen laver. You won't find it until you get over until about the 38th or to the 30th chapter where Moses gave it to the people. And when we're talking about the brazen laver, I'm not sure this is a very good replica of the laver. In my mind, of course, this is just a small replica, but it had a huge foot. And I don't think it had a basin type like this at the bottom where it held water. I think the water was held at the top. It just had a huge foot. For I believe this, once again, this was made out of brass. And it set out in the open. It set up on the earth right behind the brazen altar. It set right along in here. And this again typifies, I believe, that Jesus Christ, how the wiles and temptations and everything went upon him, how the judgment of God went upon him, and he was able to withstand everything. It was here upon the earth that Christ took the judgment. And this is what I believe it typifies. Now turn back in Exodus, the 30th chapter, and just a couple of verses of scripture. Exodus 30, 17, 21. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, I shall make a laver of brass, and its foot also of brass, with which to wash. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn an offering made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generation. So the laver here is given after the setting forth of the ransom and atonement money. You can look back in the 30th chapter and 11th verse. Talks about who may worship the redeemed. Down the 17th verse, it talks about who can worship the cleansed. In the 22nd verse, it talks about who can worship the anointed. So this is set forth after the revelations about the atonement money. Course of Atonement speaks about the redemption that Jesus Christ paid the price. He bought us by paying the price of his own life. The laver comes after the altar, sacrifice for sinners. So you can see that although that the altar was given first, there's a very special meaning there that you cannot wash or be cleansed by the Word of God until after you have come to the knowledge of the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The person who bypasses the altar and tries to cleanse it in the labor is just as lost as he can be. The person that bypasses the cross of Calvary and says he is living for God and doing God's work, trying to do God's work, is a liar and a thief and a robber, and he's trying to get to heaven some other way than except by the cross of Calvary. You must come by the brazen altar, or you must come by the cross, and you must have a substitute. So you see, you must be cleansed. The laver itself is a type of regeneration. You must take on the new birth, and then you can have fellowship with God, with his church, and with his people. So turn with me, if you will, in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. First Peter, the 2nd chapter, and the 5th verse. Ye also, as lively stones, or living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. The labor is for priests, and we are believer priests. The labor has to do with cleansing, and it has to do with worship. And the Bible here says, what kind of praises should we show forth as believer priests? Well, we should show forth, we as a spiritual house should offer up spiritual sacrifices, our prayers and our lives. Romans 12:1 says that we should offer up the sacrifices of our body. The Apostle Paul said he must beat his body daily to bring it in subjection to do the will of God. Hebrews, the 13th chapter and the 15th verse, says that we should offer unto God the fruit of our lips. In other words, we should continually praise God for what he has done for us. So we as believer priests, we get our cleansing from the Word of God. Of course, they got their cleansing from the labor, which is a type of the Word of God, where they could look into the labor, and they could see dirt and defilement upon themselves, and they could cleanse themselves by the washing of the water of the Word. And this is exactly the same thing we do. We cleanse ourselves by the washing of the water of the Word. And, of course, the Word is the Spirit. And the Spirit is what cleanses us. And we need to jump into God's Word and continually, daily, cleanse ourselves. Now, the labor was made by the looking glasses of women. Exodus, the 38th chapter and the 8th verse. Exodus 38:8. And he made the laver of brass, and a foot of it of brass, of the looking glasses of the women, or assembling, which assembled, or serving, who served at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So you can see that it was made, although it was made of brass, it had the looking glasses of women here used in it. And this looking glasses is a symbol of the written Word of God. Like I say, like we can look into it and read and see defilement upon ourselves. James, the first chapter. James, the first chapter, 23rd and 24th verse. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his face, his natural face, in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway, or immediately, forgetteth what manner of man he was. So you can see here that when these people looked into this labor, they could see the dirt and defilement upon them. Of course, their bodies were cleansed. They took their bath at home, but what they did was washed their hands and their feet upon walking to the tabernacle or coming into the congregation. They got dirt or defilement upon their hands, upon their feet, upon their face, and they could look in here and see this dirt and cleanse themselves before entering into the tabernacle. So you can see it all, dirt and defilement upon them. You and I are cleansed by the Word of God. Do you have sin in your life? And all you have to do is go to God's Word and study and look into His Word, and you can see the dirt and you can see the sin. And the Word is cleansing. It's powerful. It can cleanse you. There's power in the blood. It cleanses you from all sin. The laver was filled with water. The priests were commanded to wash in it. They were commanded to wash back there in the 20th verse. To wash unless you die. If they did not wash, then surely they would have died. If we do not wash, if we do not study, as we'll point here a few minutes later, if you do not study God's Word and you came to be a saved individual, you're going to become as one spiritually dead. Now, I've seen this happen in my life. I went on vacation year before last and spent a week, and I took my Bible and didn't have time to read it. And I could tell a great change in me in just a week's time because I did not study God's Word. I have to study daily to be cleansed. And if you had to work where I work, you'd study probably more than that. Bible says to study to show thyself approved, or search the Scriptures daily, for in them you think you have eternal life. You want to be cleansed? Then study. Read. Look into God's Word. We need to wash in God's Word. We need to look and we need to apply it. The water is the Word, but then again you have the Spirit which applies the Word. And this is what makes us clean. Now look in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ, who also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Now, this here is talking about Jesus Christ, talking about his church, that he may sanctify it, or he may set it apart, or he may cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, which is the Spirit. Now, he sets us apart and cleanses us by the Spirit, which dwelleth within our hearts, and he leads and guides and directs through all things. Now, John, the 15th chapter, in verse 3, just a few verses of Scripture here to point this out. It says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now, of course, this is the word again is the Spirit, and we're cleansed by the Spirit of God which worketh within us. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. So you can see here that the laver is a symbol of regeneration. It's a symbol or a type of, or not a type of, but a figure of being born again. And surely and truly, when a person comes to the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, he is born again. You cannot be admitted into the tabernacle, or you cannot be admitted into the congregation of the living God in fellowship with his people until first you be born again. Unless you take on the new birth of the new man, regeneration. You cannot become a living member of the church of God except by and through regeneration. You must be made anew. Now, John, the 3rd chapter in the 5th verse, John 3:5. Now, we all know the story of Jesus and Nicodemus and the new birth. When he came to Jesus there and says, Jesus came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So you must be born again. You must be made anew. And John 3:5 literally means that except a man be gotten out of the water, except you be gotten out of the water and out of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So you must become born anew. You must turn to God in faith and repent of your sins and take Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. The water signifies the Word. The Word is the instrument, and the Holy Spirit is the agent. So this is the Word. This is the Spirit. This is the water of the Word, and the Holy Spirit is what convicts or condemns in our heart when we sin. The Spirit leads and guides and directs, and we can go into God's Word, and there we can get all dirt and defilement cleansed from our life by constant study and living for God and for His Word. The water must be applied to your life. You don't have to have it sprinkled on. You need to have it. I want to be drowned in it, in other words. I just want to take a little bit of water. That's the average Christian today. They just want you to take a little bit of water and put it on. They're just talking about preaching smooth things to them. I don't want my pastor to preach smooth things to me. I want him to go as deep as God wants him to go. And I want him to give to me exactly what God gives to him. And if the spirit in my heart bears witness to the Spirit that he presents forth, the word he presents forth, then we know that this is good and true, and it causes us to grow in the riches and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't want the smooth things, and I don't want the modernistic things, and I don't want the things of the world. I don't want him to just take a little bit of the cream off of the top of the milk and let the rest of it go to waste. No, I want the whole thing. I want to plunge deep into it over my head if I can. And I have to say, truly, that I've almost been over the top of my head several times in studying the tabernacle, and I believe I'm about to get in over it again, but I'm a pretty good swimmer. Of course, I have that old ship of Zion to hang on to, too. So I don't want the smooth things. I want exactly what God wants my pastor to have and what he wants me to have, and we can go on from there. You must be born again, and this is only by the washing of the water of the Word. You must take on the new man, the new birth, or regeneration. Exodus, the 30th chapter, in the 21st verse there, it says that, talks about how that they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. Hands and feet here, hands are for service, and the feet are for the walk of the Christian life. Now here's a true saying. If you want to serve the Lord effectively, you must walk before the Lord acceptably. If you want to be effective in your walk for the Lord, in your work for the Lord, if you want to be effective in leading lost souls unto Him, then you must walk acceptably to the Word. In other words, you cannot let the Bible go one way and you cannot go the other way. No, you must walk. You must walk straight and true with God's Word. And when you do, you can be used, and I can be used, and I've seen it in my own personal life, that you can be used to be a witness for God. You can be a witness, be a teacher for God. You can be a preacher for God. You can be a song leader for God. If you walk true to His Word, your walk must go in accordance with your service. People today, how many times do we see people who say they're living for the Lord? And I work with a man who is a deacon in a Baptist church. And I never heard such a foul-mouthed deacon in all my life. And I'm just like Lonnie, since I'm going to like take him and just... And I'm going to get him one of these days. It tears me all to pieces to hear him sit in the cafeteria and use my Lord's name in vain, him claim to be a deacon in a Baptist church. I'm going to jump him, and it's going to be some hard feelings, but I can't have it because I can't stand to hear someone use the Lord's name in vain. I've used it many a time myself in vain, and of course this was before I was saved. I know now that all my sins have been forgiven me and I've been cleansed of them and made whole. But this man claims to be saved, and he was on a pulpit committee there of a church, and he was out looking for a pastor of that church. I didn't question him on it because I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but I may yet. Because I don't believe he even needs to be a member of the church, let alone be looking for a pastor of the church. So, our hands are for service and our feet are for the walk of the Christian life. Your walk and your service must be clean. You have to be clean according to God's Word. God will not fellowship with us in any uncleanness, whether by deed, whether by word, or by thought. In every deed that we do, every word that we say, every thought that comes out in our life, must be done according to, thus saith the Lord. Thus, according to the will of the Lord. Lord, if it be in accordance to your will, I want to walk in your way. I want to walk the straight and narrow like you commanded me to. We can only be kept clean only by surrendering to the demands of God's Word and applying it to our lives. We can study all we want to. We can study from Genesis to Revelations. Every chapter, every verse. But unless we apply it, it's no good. We can read it and not apply it, it's no good. We must apply it to our lives. And then once again, many Christians of the day, they study, they read it. They're Sunday Christians. They read your Bible once a day or on a Sunday. When they go home, that's it, until the next Sunday. That's not what God intended for them to do. God intended for them to jump into the labor every day and take a bath. Aaron and his sons, the priests, had to daily cleanse themselves from defilement before going into the tabernacle and accomplishing the services of God. You must cleanse yourself every day. Now, all of the sin in the world, and there must be millions of them, I reckon, that we are subject to, we need God's Word to keep us straight, to keep us narrow, to keep us whole, and to keep us clean. Washing of the water of the Word, and we must take a bath every day in God's Word. Like I said a few minutes ago, the Christian that claims to be saved and will not apply God's word to his life will sooner or later lose the consciousness of the spirit and seem to one spiritually dead. How many people have you seen that claim to be saved, but they won't study and won't live for God? Now, I don't know whether these people are saved or not. I know one or so. I don't know whether he studies. He goes to church every now and then. But then again, to me, he seems like he's spiritually dead. And then again, I have a good friend of mine who goes to a Baptist church here and been going for years and said he's saved for years. It's a Southern Baptist church, and I've been trying to get him out of it because I read just today in the Sword of the Lord that Bill Rice puts out for the Southern Baptist church. Churches now are trying to get they have a committee out where they are saying that the birth of unborn children or unwanted pregnancy should be killed. They're pushing this thing even in their churches, and they are supporting a committee to get something like this going. Even read where the editor, or not the editor, but the Louisville Seminary up here, he is ahead of these things and says that he says that God's word is not true in a lot of places. He said that there's contradictions in God's word in many of places, and there are places where it's false and it's misleading. And I know, and you know, that there's nothing contradictory about God's word. It all is all in harmony, and it all proves Scripture with Scripture. But the Southern Baptists are beginning to teach this, are beginning to preach this, and even their head men are beginning to allow this to be done. But this one man, they're without a preacher right now, and I've been trying to get him to come here where he can learn something. He's been saved for several years, but he doesn't know anything at all. He seems to me at times this one is spiritually dead. He'll quote you a verse of Scripture, but he didn't know what it means. And this to me seems like it's someone that, of course, I believe he's saved. I believe the man's a saved individual. But as far as he just doesn't apply what he reads, and I don't think he can apply it because he doesn't understand. He needs someone to teach him. And he's not getting the teaching that he needs there in that church. And I'm like Johnny now. I think he needs to come out of there. And if he really wants to know, and he's sincere and has a desire that seems like he wants to know, but I believe he needs to get somewhere where he can understand. forgot what we were talking about. Christian who claims to be saved and will not apply God's word as one spiritually dead. Look in Psalms, the 24th chapter, and talking about God's church here, 24th chapter of Psalms. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they who dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? I believe this here is talking about God's church, or who shall stand in his holy place. Now look, turn back to a couple of pages to the 15th chapter of Psalms, 15th book of Psalms, in the first two verses. I believe this is talking about God's church. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He who walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. So, Lord, who's going to dwell in your church? And, Lord, who's going to dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, or he that's walking with God's word, or he that is studying to showing himself approved, or he that is seeking or looking in the Scriptures to find better ways to walk the straight and narrow, or ways that he can more cleanse his life from sin, purge out that sin, or purge out that leaven. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. So you must speak the truth in your heart and look after the things of God and take a bath in the Word of God. Get the defilement off of you. Get the sin off of you. You've been cleansed from your sin, but you're still subject to sin because of the flesh. So the way to purge out the leaven, or the way to purge out the sin, is by God's word, by the washing of the water of the word. So this is what the labor stands for. And There's a many more thing we can go on and talk about the labor. We're going to have to quit. The labor was made of two materials. It was made of brass, and the brass, it talks about the judgment. Many places in the Bible, brass speaks of judgment. But here in the labor, it's not speaking of judgment, because judgment was not handed down here. It speaks of judgment as you and I judge ourselves. Of course, judgment was put down upon Christ, but you and I must judge ourselves. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th verse, I believe it is, talks about if we judge ourselves, then we should not be judged. In other words, if you and I sin, we should judge ourselves of that sin. But if we don't judge ourselves of that sin, then this is where God takes in. This is where God hands out chastisement when you and I don't realize that we have sinned, or we realize we have sinned, but we don't ask for forgiveness to it, then God just takes us over His knee and he just gives us a whipping. I know this is true, and it's happened to me, and it's happened to you. If you be truthful for yourself, that we need to judge ourselves. Judge yourself, examine yourself, whether you're in the faith or not. So this is what the labor means, and this is an interesting study to me. It's not real deep, but it's deep enough for me. But speaks of God's word, and it's an enjoyment to me, because once again, just dive in, and cleanse yourself. That's all you need. But to make yourself, you're already whole. You're already cleansed from all your sin. But like I say, you're still subject to sin. And if you want to walk closer to the Lord, and you want to serve Him more effectively, then you must walk according to His word. You just need to jump in, get in over your head. That's the best way in the world. Brother Al says, don't teach anything you don't know anything about. And so if he preaches something deep off the top of my head, then I want to know the reason why. Like I say, I don't want the smooth things. I want what God says. If the truth will make you free, you'll be free indeed. And I'm freed. I'm going to stay free because God's word says so. And I've got my faith where it belongs. I've got my faith in Him. So this is what the labor speaks about. And we'll go on with this study next week. Being according to the Lord's will. Our Father who art in heaven, Lord, we come before Thy throne of grace. Lord, we come with thankful hearts, Lord, thanking You for the many blessings of the day. Thanking You, Lord, for the truth that Thou hast put in our heart. Lord, that we have been purged from our sin, Lord. We have been cleansed and made whole by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thanking You, Lord, for our church and the truth that it stands for. Thanking You, Lord, for a pastor who stands before us and preached that truth to us. Father, we pray tonight as Brother Dempsey stands before us, Lord, that You may give him wisdom and knowledge. Give him power, Lord, of the Holy Ghost, that he may speak with boldness and speak the things, Lord, that You'd have him to say. Lord, maybe even tonight that some lost individual would step out and look to the cross of Calvary, see Jesus dying for their sins, and take them as their own personal Savior. Lord, watch over us now and forgive us for our many sins, and lead us in through the services, and lead God direct as I please. In Jesus' name we pray, and for His sake, amen. Two materials, Exodus, the 38th chapter, and the 8th verse. And he made the laver of brass, and the foot of it of brass, of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assemble, or who served at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. The laver was made by the looking glasses of women. Although it was made of brass, I believe that the top part was used for the looking by the looking glasses of women. Metals that they carried back then, they were some type of highly polished metal, maybe brass or silver or bronze or something. They would take these things, they would highly polish them where they could see their face, and they weren't made of glass like you and I look into, or you carry with you. They were made of a metal that would shine and show you reflection in it. And I believe these were more or less placed around about in here where you could see your reflection in that. History notes that it was customary for women to carry mirrors with them to temples. Women who assembled at the tabernacle door here, it literally means that they assembled, or they ministered there. And the Hebrew word here means assembly there. And the Hebrew word means tasbah, to be in the host or to serve in the host. So they were serving at the tabernacle door. We note here that these women, they willingly gave up their possessions. Exodus, the 35th chapter, in the 4th and 5th verses, says that they were willing to do so. God gave them a willing heart to do the work of the Lord, whatsoever he commanded them to do. And in the same spirit, you and I should do so. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Holy and acceptable unto God. No one else, not unto man, not unto the provisions of life, but unto God. Holy and acceptable unto him. The laver was made of brass in Exodus 30th chapter, and brass is a symbol of judgment. It's a symbol of judgment made known. Of course, the judgment was upon Christ when he died. But here the laver, I believe, speaks in self-judgment, where you and I are to judge ourselves when sin comes into our life. Let me take this back. We're not to judge ourselves, but of course self-judgment too, but we get it from God's Word, which would be the Spirit applying things to our lives when, which God had commanded us to do so. So this here speaks about self-judgment. It does not speak, I don't believe, of Christ bearing the judgment of sin upon his shoulders there upon the cross of Calvary. Now in 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, First Corinthians 11:30-32. Now, brother, I'll read just many a time when we take the Lord's Supper, but just a few verses of Scripture down here. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, talking about who eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many asleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. God does not put down his chastening hand upon us. I believe when we judge ourselves, if we sin against God, and we have the godly sorrow, and we know that we sinned against God, and we judge ourselves, then God, I don't believe, he puts down his judgment hand upon us and whips us when we judge ourselves, because the Bible says there that when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now, when he has to judge us, or when we don't judge ourselves, and God has to put down his hand and turn us over his knee, then he begins to chasten us, and he does this for one thing. The Bible says that we should not be condemned with the world. Now, God does not want his children mixed up in the things of the world. And this is exactly the teaching here in 1 Corinthians about God, about us not being defiled with the things of the world. It's when we don't judge ourselves that we get whipped. God chastens us and put down his chasing his hand. The laver here, it stood in the court, and it was a type of the earth. It was on earth that Christ bare the judgment for sin. And it is here on earth that we as believers judge ourselves with the word of God. So the laver was upon the earth, and the priest and Aaron and his sons, they came in and they saw sin, or they saw dirt upon their face, which is a type of sin. And they would cleanse themselves by the water which was in the laver. You and I take the water of the Word, and we begin to cleanse ourselves by the study of God's Word. The Word here reveals sin and reveals evil, reveals all dirt and defilement. Look in John, the 4th chapter, in the 4th verse, John 4:29. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The word uncovers or exposes sin. Of course, God is a spirit, and Jesus Christ was came from God. He was made of flesh and came and dwelt among us, and we must worship God in spirit and truth. But this word is what reveals sin, the spirit of God that within our heart reveals a sin, and you and I go to his word and seek it out, and it begin to expose. Look in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, in the 12th and 13th verses. Hebrews 4:12-13. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick, or it's living, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So we can see here that God's word is quick, and it's powerful, and sharper, and the word is powerful enough to save us, made us anew, took us to the cross, and showed us where Jesus Christ died for us. And then if it's that powerful, then it's surely it's powerful enough to keep us cleansed from all sin. So the word here uncovers or exposes sin, and the word is a means of cleansing or daily cleansing. John 15:3 says, "Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." So you can see there the word is what keeps us clean. What Christ has spoken unto us keeps us clean from dirt and defilement. Ephesians 5:26, talking about the church, says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. So you can see here the washing of the water by the word, by the Spirit that keeps us clean in our everyday walk, in our everyday service for the Lord Jesus Christ. So now the labor here, it had no measurements given. There was no measurements that I can find whatsoever in the Bible telling how big it was, how tall it was, how big around the basins in it were. There's no measurements at all given. And I believe this has a meaning there that both the work of Christ and the Word of God are immeasurable. No one can comprehend the depths and the heights of God's Word. No mind can comprehend how far it can go or how far it will go. We talked about how the labor had a large foot at the bottom, and it was large enough to hold it up against all that Satan could throw against it. And we said that God's Word is here today and has been from the beginning of time, and Satan has thrown everything in the world against it that he can, but to of no avail. He has not conquered God's Word yet, nor will he ever conquer it, because I believe it's the Gospel of Matthew says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, talking about his word and his church and his people. So the word of God is upheld by the power of God. Hebrews 4:12, where we read that, had quicker and sharper and powerful than any two-edged sword. 1 Peter 1:23-25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is like grass, and all the glory of man like the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and its flower falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So God's word has endured. It's going to endure forever, is what the Bible says here. And this is the word by the gospel which is preached unto you. This is the same word in the beginning of time that God handed down, and today it's still just as strong and just as powerful as it ever has been. we talk about the labor, how it was never covered. It was never covered while it was in the tabernacle, or it was never covered while it was upon the march. Now, some of the articles of furniture, or some of the, like the brazen altar, when they went upon the march, they covered it in a covering of blue, I believe it was, and that has a meaning there. But the brazen laver was never covered, even on the march, or while it was inside of the tabernacle, it was never covered. And this has a meaning that, like we said at the beginning, that God's word is never closed, it's always open. The word of God is a revelation, or it's a revealing, as Revelation says. It's not a covered mystery. It's something you and I can look into, and always, it's always been open, and it always will be open until Christ comes and takes his people away. John 16:13 says that Jesus, when he comes, will guide you in all things, all truth, and things to come. God's word is God's. God leads and directs us in all things. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. So you and I have the promise of eternal life even before the world began. Even as the labor here was open, God's word is open. It's revealing. It's never closed. The water was in the labor, the water was in the labor, and the power for God for cleansing is in His Word. There is no other power that can save you or cleanse you and keep you clean except it be the power of God or the power of God's Word. The power of God is in His Word. The power of God is in His Son, Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is what operates in and through the Word to quicken our hearts and make us alive. So this is what the labor speaks up here, that it speaks of it. It's always open. And you and I can, when we see sin in our life, all we have to do is go to God's Word and let God speak to us. When we read God's Word, it's God speaking to us. It's God speaking to our hearts and leading and guiding us and directing us in the ways that He would have us to go. And when we pray, we're speaking to God. Or when we teach or when we preach, we're speaking for God. It's God's Word. But Brother Al, he is just a spokesman. The Word's come through him from which God has sent down. So this is what the labor is. And the Bible is, like we say, it's going to be here until God comes and takes His people away. So I believe that the labor is a type of Christ cleansing His people from daily defilement, cleansing His people from all unrighteousness, keeping us in the safety and security of His arms and of His love, and drawing us close to Him. Cleansing is a never-ending work. We must cleanse, or we must wash every day. We must go to God's Word and look into it and cleanse all out dirt and defilement from our lives. There's a teaching there in John, the 13th chapter where Brother Al spoke of this morning, where Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples. Now, this is not talking about the new birth when He was washing the feet of the disciples. Jesus Christ, of course, he was a servant. He was a servant of servants. Well, let's look in John the 13th chapter. John 13, 4 and 10. This is where this is before the feast of the Passover, before Jesus Christ was crucified, when the devil came to Judas Iscariot, and when it was about time for him to betray Christ, and after supper was over with, in the fourth verse, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Then Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered and said, If I wash thee not, thou hast no power or no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean, or is entirely clean, or clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all of you. Jesus Christ here was merely washing the feet of the disciples to show that He was a servant. He was washing their feet so that they could be fit for service, or so they would be clean in their walk when they were going about doing what He had commanded them to do. They had already been sanctified. They were saved individuals. Judas Iscariot, of course, being a devil among them, but they had already been sanctified. They had already been set apart for the ministry of God's Word, but they had been separated from the world and was going into what God had commanded them to do there, to preach the gospel into all the world. But like we said here, the work of cleansing is a never-ending work. It is something that you and I must do every day. We must wash every day. Sanctify means to set apart or to separate. But the work of sanctification is a continuous thing. It is a continuous washing by the water of the Word, and sanctification comes through the truth of God's Word. As a child, when we were first, you and I were first saved, we desire the sincere milk of the Word. Milk was all we could take as a newborn baby. Milk was all that we could take. And as we go through life and as we begin to learn and to understand the truths of God's Word, we need to take the stronger things and apply them to our life. And this is sanctification. When we learn God's truths, and as we see sin in our life, and as we learn more and more about sin and what we're doing wrong, then we are to take God's Word and daily cleanse our lives by the washing of the water of the Word. The Spirit of God is what cleanses us. We read and study, and it makes us clean, it makes us whole, and it makes us fit for God's service. It makes us useful, and God will use us when we cleanse out the dirt that comes from our lives and the sin which is in our lives. Sanctification comes through the truth. So we need to apply what Jesus Christ was doing. Of course, we need to be servants. But then again, we need to not, like Brother Al says, literally go around and wash people's feet. But this was just showing that he wanted them to be clean in their walk and in their service in doing what he says for them to do. Psalms 119th chapter in the 9th verse says, "For withal shall a young man cleanse his ways, by taking heed thereto according to thy word." So even the psalmist talked about how shall a young man cleanse his ways, and he talks about the word, according to thy word. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through the truth, through thy word. Thy word is truth." 1 Peter 1:22-23. 1 Peter 1:22-23. We read this while ago. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." So God's word is an incorruptible seed. It's not corrupt. "For all flesh is like grass, and all the glory of man like the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and its flower falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever." So God's word is going to endure, and it's going to accomplish what he intended for it to do. God's word will not accomplish what it says in its word if we do not apply it to our lives. It must be applied before God's plan and purpose is accomplished here. We must daily, like we say, and we have to keep going back to it again, we have to daily study and take God for His word, for what He says. Even a priest back in Exodus, Aaron, he had to be clean before he could minister unto the Lord. And this is not talking about that he had to, of course he needed to bathe his whole body too, but he had to go wash his hands and his feet. Exodus there says, "Unless ye die not." So he had to have his hands and his feet clean before he could enter into the tabernacle to accomplish the services of God. And the tabernacle being a type of the church, God wants us clean. He wants our hands clean. He wants our feet clean. Of course, he has already cleaned up the inside of our life by regeneration, by the new birth. He has created a new man within us. And the inner man, he is clean because he is spirit. But God wants us to clean up the outside, take our hands and our feet, in our walk, in our service of God. It needs to be clean. And as we said before, if we want to walk acceptably before the Lord, that we must serve Him effectively. And to serve Him effectively, we must study and show ourselves approved and walk in the ways that He'd have us to go. Now, 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 14th verse. God's people need to be separate and cleansed from the inward and outward filthiness of the world. The Bible here says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" So God does not want us unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We are not to go back into our sins and live in our sins before God saved us. We are not to go back and do the former things that we used to do. God forbid that I would go back and live the way I used to live before I was saved. I believe that if I must go and do some of the things now that I did before Christ quickened me and made me alive, that he would take my life, I'd be scared to death too. And as I told one of the boys at work that I worked with, and he was beginning to talk about all these things of the world, and he says, "Why don't you just forget about what you're doing and go on back and do what you used to do and run around with us and do all these things?" I said, "I'd be scared to death too. I believe God would take my life. God did not save me to walk with the world. He did not save me to go out and do the things that of the world that I used to do. No, God didn't do this. He saved me for a purpose. He saved you for a purpose. He saved you and I to make us clean and to make us whole and to walk according to his word and be a witness for him here upon this earth. And you cannot be a witness for him in a honky-tonk. And I'm not going back to honky-tonk. And if I ever do, I pray to God he will take my life. Because I know God doesn't want me in there. And I'm not going to be in there." We begin to think about a lot of things. And he began to sing some of these old rock songs. And if one thing that disturbs me more is to listen to somebody sing some of this junk. And he says, "Why don't you sing them?" And I said, "I look at this one of two ways. You sing this rock stuff, and I'll sing praises to God. You're either giving praises to the devil, or you're either giving praises to God. Now, you sing this stuff, you're either thanking the devil for giving you something to sing like it, or you're singing praises to God, thanking God for saving your life. There's only one of two things you can praise. You can praise the devil, or you can praise God. When you sing this stuff, what are you doing? You're thanking the devil for giving you something like that to sing. I may be wrong in this, and I don't think I am, but I'll have to stand before God, and he'll have to convict me or whip me if I'm wrong in thinking this way, but I don't think I am. God did not intend for us to sing stuff like this. And it disturbs me when I see our young people, and it disturbs me when I see my own children listening to stuff like this. It's not right. I don't want it in my home. And one thing that the problem I have in my home is this. I don't want it in my home. And I have to turn off the television and tell them that one thing I have in my life is problem is being dominant. Not being dominant, but being too critical. I have a tendency to be too critical with people. And this is something I've got to overcome. And I know how to overcome it. It's by study of God's word, being more meek and more humble. But I need to overcome this. Brother Al says he can't show love like there to. Well, I can't either. But I'm too critical on people. And I was brought up this way. I was brought up in a hard way. I had to fight through life almost. But you don't change yourself overnight, humanly speaking. Of course, speaking about the new man, you're changed instantly. But you don't change your life overnight. About the actions of your life, it takes a while before you can change the outward your speak and your way of life. But I don't want these things in my home, and I don't want these things in my life. And it disturbs me when I see people who claim to be saved going around doing things like this, and I hear people who are members of Baptist churches going to these honky tonks and saying what a good time they have. I have a young girl that I work with who is a Sunday school teacher at a Baptist church. And, well, I'm not going to say what she does, but I believe she's just as lost as she can be. This is not right, and I'm going to go to her and tell her one of these days, because she has no right in teaching God's little ones and her doing what she's doing. And in the walk and the way that she's living for the devil and doing what he commanded her to, not what God commanded her to. We need to be separate. We need to be cleansed from the inward and outward filthiness of our bodies. And this is only in and through Jesus Christ. He tells us there in the 14th verse not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? I begin to talk about the things of God, and they begin to talk about the things of the world. There's no fellowship there. It's just like light trying to mingle with darkness. You can't do it. They talk to things of the world, and I try to talk to things of God. And it seems like that when you get two or three together, I can talk to one, but when you get two or three together, then, of course, they all, two or three of them, start getting all over you, and it just seems like maybe the devil wins out every time. You just have to be quiet and go on your way and just thank God for what little bit that you could say. Well, this is what the labor talks about. It talks about cleaning up, or it talks about God's Word, how it's open. It's a revealing to you and I.
The end of tape number 13 on the teachings of the tabernacle. For the continuation of this message, please continue with tape number 14.